Welcome to the Vibrant Living Network. Have you ever wondered what is possible beyond possible? What is the thing you've been wondering and inquiring about? Are you just feeling stuck and don't know why? Are you thinking or are you seeing? Seeing allows us to expand and have this other experience. We want to invite you for that wake-up call. We want to invite your spirit, your soul, so to be more alive, more connected. Glenn Brooks has been a life coach for over 33 years, author of Divorced to Patterns, Not Each Other, an explorer of what is possible. He has worked with people all around the world. Join us for a wake-up conversation, a dialogue with you. We will have some of the most interesting contributors. We will be talking to some of the most interesting people and have some of the most resourceful teachers, wisdom-filled people from around the world join us. Share your voice, ask the questions, become free of the known into a new world of possibility. We are going to talk about all the things you wonder about: how to live, how to heal, how to connect, how to love, how to be seen. Your life is precious. Enjoy it.
Good afternoon. I'm Glenn Brooks, listening to the Vibrant Living Network, and I welcome you to the show. Kimchi Moyer, the Resipath, our Resipath, she works around the world. She's coming back from Jordan, and hopefully she'll join us today. She's traveling on a train as we speak, and she wanted to share with us things she learned in Jordan in terms of the healing culture, in terms of the water therapies there. Anyway, she's very inspired. Maybe we're waiting to see if we'll catch up with her. You know, I realize there's two different kinds of love we hear about. We hear that love about that Tina Turner sings about in her song, What's Love Got to Do With It? And then when I was about 17 or 18, I heard a talk by Dr. Ashley Montague out of Princeton, and he says love could heal broken bones. When I heard that, it just meant a lot to me. I kind of got that this experience of love is very different than being wounded about love. And over the last 8 years, I've kind of dedicated myself as part of my coaching to really include relational coaching. And one of the things that I want to get into today, and I'm really honored to have with us Kelly Masterson, who publishes Natural Awakenings out of Long Island, New York, the Hamptons, the whole Long Island. I grew up. One of my vows, Kelly, was to leave Long Island. When I was in Long Island, I thought, I can't wait to leave this place. But I'm appreciating each thing as a gift and seeing it in a different way. But I had my pockets. I had my pockets in Long Island. I remember there was a place called Head of the Harbor. And I would hike that. You know, there was a spring water place there, and I met a friend of mine. I used to remember hiking Head of the Harbor, and it really, in terms of inspiration, it really opened me up because my path changed in my life. I went to high school. I'm just talking about it, right? I didn't feel like high school spoke to me on any level. And so very early on, I got just very interested in things that were not talked about in school, like, for instance, breathing. I thought, well, you know, it's interesting we breathe, but a lot of us don't breathe with ease, and, you know, it's major because how we breathe is our life. And so very early I got interested in breathing therapies, and I went on to work with people around the breathing. And so this thing happened, Kelly, that I talk about in my book, Unscripted Power, which I can send you a copy of. And we had it happen earlier today, and that's these miraculous meetings I would have with remarkable people where just by the fact we get together, we increase each other's prosperity, our relational wisdom and connection. And I had that with you this morning, so I want to welcome you in the spirit of our connection and trust, and I'm blessed to have you on today.
Thank you. This is really fun how this sort of just occurred. This is great.
Yeah. What's it like in your life? Because you know, it's really funny. I'm working with people now what I call love invocations, like helping them find someone and really deepen a relationship. And one of these I say, Kelly, is that no one gets in the way. That no one gets in the way. And that really it's recognition, not knowing. And that knowing, we try to figure someone out. We think someone has red flags. But really the bond or the connection is recognition. And I asked my family member, Dr. Norm Shealy, who's a neurosurgeon. He was married 54 years, and he told me that was correct, that really it's recognition and then trusting the relational, what I call relational intuition. What's your experience with that? I was curious to ask you because there's an openness with you that I could sense. Over the years, I've never called myself a relational clairvoyant, but I could see and feel people before I even meet them. And it was, I want to say, I felt so welcomed by you. Do you have a philosophy about welcoming people in, or is it, how is that, how does that occur in your life?
I don't even know how to answer that. I think I'm a pretty, I like people, you know, so everybody's welcome they, you know, until they hurt me or until they prove otherwise, then, you know, I love meeting people. In fact, you know, my husband will joke, you know, sometimes I don't see the snake through the weeds kind of thing, because I just expect, I think, everybody to be like me, but that's not the case. So I have to be, you know, cautious, but for the most part, I'm super open, and let's see where, you know, what kind of benefit people can have in each other's lives. I'm very open to that.
So,
you know,
I know you just wrote a book on inspiration.
Yeah.
But tell me about your book, and then I want to talk to you a little bit about what I call creative collaborations or infinite collaborations. But I want you to tell the audience about your book, because I like you know, inspiration to breathe is such a big thing, especially when couples do it together. I'm really into this world of how couples could deepen their love and connection. Tell me about this. What's it called? Is it called Inspiration for a Year? What's the name of your new book?
It's called A Year of Inspired Living.
Mm-hmm.
And it's it was published by HCI Publications, which they published Chicken Soup for the Soul. So I'm really excited that they're, you know, behind the book. It's a journaling. It's a guided journaling book. So I share a lot of my experiences that I've had over, you know, my years of life. And I leave a page after each essay for the reader to really write their experience with the same topic. So the hope is that the reader will pause. That's what I'm a proponent of. I'm a proponent of sort of pausing and just being aware. And writing for me is it's what I use as a tool to slow down. So the hope is that the reader will read the essays, connect with them, and then slow down and write their own experiences and maybe help process their own experiences.
You know, I have a question for you about writing. I'm curious because how writing came into my life was I kind of felt moved to write from my body. As a matter of fact, I'm teaching a course how to write your book from your body. And when I had what I call my relational awakening, I started to write things that I was discovering. And so I started to write this book called Divorce the Patterns on Each Other. Divorce the Patterns on Each Other. And when I would read it to people, it really, it's funny, it would alter me and alter them. And because of that, I'm doing a film called The Announcement. So I don't know what time of night it is. Let's say between 3 and 6 in the morning, I get what I experience something called soul seeings. And when I mean seeing, like, I kind of see something in a whole different way. I feel it in my body. I feel it in my breath. This healed me of heartbreak. But people would come to me during this period and ask me questions related to the topic. I wish I could read the opening. I don't have it in front of me. But the opening just shares something about relationalness that's very different than what's out there. And funny enough, my next book is going to be a journal for couples and how they could share their relational vision together.
That's a great idea. Yeah, that's a
and I want idea. I want you on board, by the way, as a contributor and advisor for this. I would love that.
Sure. That's a great. I think that's a terrific,
you know,
idea.
Oh, thank you, Kelly. I could feel your connection to your husband. I feel, you know, it's funny. I learned recently I was a lateral thinker, by the way, Kelly. I didn't know that, and all I know is I always felt sort of disrupted a little bit, because I saw so much linearness, and I felt healing and deep well-being and creativity came from another part of our brain. And I saw tremendous judgment, you know, via just purely linearness. What style of thinking, what in your creative journey, what would you acknowledge opened you up to move to not just write a book, but to live in a more inspired way? Was there anything that happened in your life that was an open doorway for you?
I think I've faced a lot of different obstacles as I got into adulthood. You know, as I became an adult, I had a child who was sick for a time with a seizure disorder. I had a husband who was sick with cancer, who got a liver transplant, lost my house to Sandy. I've had a lot of crazy things happen to me. And I think all of that, in a way, while they were, each one of them were awful, they definitely give me the gift of perspective. Like, you know, and my husband even more so. I mean, he is just this fun, loving, he just lives life very, you know, charges double head over high, double overhead waves. And, you know, at 48 years old, he's surfing 10-foot waves. And he's just very, I think because of what we faced, he and that and watching him, how he handled it, inspires me. And then I'm just a writer. I've always been a writer since I was a child. That's sort of my outlet. You know, I'd rather write than do yoga or meditate. Probably writing is my go-to. I would say surfing first, and then writing, and then sort of meditating. And I try to fit it all in. But writing,
are you a surfer?
Has always been for me. Yeah, for sure.
Are you a surfer? Wow.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to hang out with a surfer. I haven't surfed. Wow. Is that a way of life for you there in Long Beach?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Wow.
I didn't learn though until just a few years ago, probably 8 years ago. My husband's always been a surfer, and my kids became surfers.
Wow.
And then I found myself on the shore and I said, well, this isn't fun. I'm watching them have fun. I'm not going to do that. So I learned just recently how to surf, and mostly I paddle surf. So I have a small little stand up board, and I'll go out there with those guys. You know, the fridge just gives us, you know, when we're on vacation, it's just something that's not really age dependent. You know, we can all do it. So it's not like one of us wants to do one thing, one of us wants to do the other.
Mm-hmm.
We go on vacation, we all agree, let's go find some waves and get at it.
Well, I want to dive into this whole thing around infinite or creative collaboration. Because
I'm interested to hear.
You know, I'm also an improv artist, so what I have found in my life, in a very powerful way, I want to ask you what your experience is, because I teach a course on this. I teach a course on improv and collaboration. Because for a lot of people, they're scared or they're reluctant sometimes just meeting someone new and then doing something outrageous with them, something, you know, that they couldn't see before. By the way, this is a very linear thing. I think that part of what I learned from improv is that to be able to meet someone and trust, it's not linear, because your linear mind sometimes will get in that way. So it's kind of this body sense where, I've learned to listen to the voice. By listening to the voice, I could open the doorway. So, you know, Kimchi is an example. He's a resopath. He uses this equipment from Germany to really find out what the body language says about food, electromagnetic energy. And she said to me one day, you know, I want to travel the world. And I said, great, we're going to do a segment. You're going to be a vibrant traveler. And so what I find is around collaboration and spontaneous, abundant partnerships, it's a lot to do with that trust that's beyond our conditioning. You know, it's kind of this ability to listen in a way that's different. What's your experience with, and your experience, the times you've really collaborated well and it's been prosperous and pleasurable and peaceful, what have you noticed that made it work? Or what have you noticed that was different than your conditioning? What's your experience with creative collaboration it's beyond barter, it's not an exchange, and it's not a trade.
Right.
It's kind of where you both get on the whole level together.
Yeah, I think it's nice. I think, you know, for me, I've only kind of gotten into that sort of experience over the last few years. Initially, when I first began my career, it was very much, my career was very much everybody else. You know, I'll do this for you and you will give me a paycheck. You know what I mean? It was very traditional. It was very, you know, heavy, black and white. I'll do this and you'll give me a raise and I'll do this. And then when I owned my own business, it was up to me to say yes or no to people. And my own personality, I found I couldn't just say no to people just because they didn't have the money. So, it was just me, my own, you know, other people on my staff are like, you're giving that person what for what and why, you know, they couldn't understand it. And it was just me, you know, as a business owner, I couldn't operate just from the money standpoint. And you know what? It just would turn, it would turn in my favor every time. I found that the more I gave, the more I got. And I didn't do it for that reason. It just happened, you know? So I think that's been a really fun thing to experience and learn. And I'm sure you've probably experienced that for a very long time. For me, it's just been, you know, since the business ownership, so 6 years. And then I've incorporated it in my life. You know, I'll give money or I'll give time to somebody. You know, I'll spend 2 hours, you know, like you and I, you called me like, hey, you want to do a show? We've never met before. Sure, let's do a show. You know, I just think you get so much more when you say yes, you know. The universe likes it when we say yes.
Oh, my God, that's great. We got to co-teach that seminar. I love that. We got to co-teach that, Kelly, because I'm gonna come to Long Island and do my Beyond Dating to Relating, and we're gonna me and you are gonna teach a course called The Universe Likes It When We Say Yes. That's
perfect. I'm in.
That's just beautiful. That's beautiful. We'll do that together. You know, one of the biggest things I think I've learned is, you know, I attended a course at Harvard, and one of the things, matter of fact, Kelly, I'm speaking at Harvard. I want to brag right now. I just got invited to speak at Harvard.
Woo-hoo!
I'm speaking, I know, it's sinking in. I'm speaking at a conference on movement, cognition, and the brain, and I'm going to talk about the lessons that I've discovered through body of movement. This is all the people that have used movement medicine to heal themselves and their families and their partners, everything from Qigong to dance. So I was talking to the coordinator, and it was like, we're discovering how we're going to work together. And the academic designer, Dr. Liebman, he's, you know, Jerry's going to co-host the show. It's going to be the first international format that's all about movement and all the hidden benefits and all the stuff that a lot of specialists, like Jerry is an example, who's a very advanced academic. He was telling me that if you tap a certain part of the foot and you have Parkinson's, you could actually walk. He was saying each person in the medical profession has a certain box and they're looking at things. And a lot of them don't communicate. So that show will be a collaborative inquiry and dialogue, bringing our practitioners up from around the world and kind of bridge the gap to the medical community. So I'm very much, you know.
The Real Conscious Connection. OM Times Radio. IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of OM Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from new thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
In the wake of a disaster, what one thing can you send that will help people the most? A blanket, a tent, a sandbag, a doctor. Actually, if you send a monetary donation, you send all these things. Even a small donation can make a big impact and can quickly become exactly what people affected by disaster need most.
In the wake of a hurricane, your monetary donation can make a huge difference to those in need. To donate, visit supporthurricanerelief.org. That's supporthurricanerelief.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Hello, I'm Glenn Brooks. You're listening to the Vibrant Living Network. We're also a speakers bureau, and we're putting an upcoming event together called the Vibrant Living Summit. We're talking to Kelly Martinson. Kelly Martinson is she's an author. She's a publisher of Natural Awakenings on Long Island. And we are we're experiencing creative collaboration, or what I like to also call infinite collaboration. And I was just sitting here, Kelly, thinking about our seminar, The Universe Likes It When We Say Yes. So I want to talk about that. That's I met a guy 25 years ago named Yenna Makovici, and he developed a seminar for tennis. And that was the It was called the yes exercise, but the whole idea was to move the ball around and just be about the yes of it rather than the no of it. And it's kind of funny. So the other day, Kelly, I was talking to a friend of mine who's a very advanced Aikido martial artist. We're integrating into our vibrant speaking a lot of movement. And I said to her, why don't you come and teach people to defend themselves without even trying? I was just playing with her on this. I said, well, what's the essence of, defense? Like, how do you, if you had to sum it up in one word, you know what she said? She said humor. Humor.
Hmm.
And the next thing she said, redirection. So it's kind of like, if we could see that the yes, and this takes us beyond the linearness. As a matter of fact, Joel Goldsmith, one of the greatest mystical healers who helped people of all kinds of appearances, said it as he was transitioning. He said, they asked him, why do people get into this thing called illness? And he said, the calendar, the mesmerism and hypnosis, really of no, like that we're fixed, or it has to be that way, or someone's got to act this way. So I love this idea that the universe loves it when we say yes. So I want to play with you right now on our seminar, because the beginning of our collaboration, I felt you languished so beautifully. So you were just saying earlier that when you started to give money away and give services away, it perplexed some of your coworkers or your staff. Share with us a little bit about, because let's tag people with this consciousness. I want these guys to exhale three times. Because when we exhale three times, we become a little vertical. It opens us up to something beyond the horizontal. It puts us in the vertical. Share a little bit about that, why the universe loves it when we say yes. I love that, how that flowed off your tongue and heart.
That's pretty deep. Why? So I don't know that I can answer for the universe why.
Yes. Yeah.
I do, I've just seen it in action. I wish I could say why, and I've seen other people see it in action. I think because if you're saying yes, just like you mentioned, you're taking away the no. So, no is just, where do you go from no? You said you do improv, right? So isn't there's that whole blocking exercise. The one thing you can't do when you're in an improv exercise is say no. So, or block, they say, so if somebody comes into an improv routine, right, and they go, why are your pants on fire? And if you say, I'm not on fire, well, you've just blocked them. You've given them no. There's nowhere to go. And that's rule, right? Rule number one for improv, no blocking. And so
that's right.
I think that right? So that's really the same as just in the world. Well, let's not block each other, Let's not, go and see where it goes, As long as it's not, against boundaries, against moral code, against ethics, if it's just, as simple as like, hey, you want to jump on the radio and have a conversation? Sure, let's do it. Hey, you want to see if we can collaborate?
Yeah.
Sure, let's do it. Hey, you want to go surfing?
Yeah.
Those waves look sketchy and there's sharks in the water, but hey, let's do it,
It's so beautiful. So, well, I love what you said. Yeah. So in improv, what do we say? We say that, right, you said it so beautifully. So the improv never stops, ever. So one day, this friend of mine's a tennis pro, and he's from the inner city. So he experienced an improv one day when I was with him. And the improv was, there was this doctor and his wife. We were all staying in a lobby at a store. And these two other guys just show up, and they pretend to know the doctor and his wife, like really into it. And he's totally perplexed. He goes, what is happening here? And I said, what's happening here is this is an improv, and he was like, he goes, if I did that in the inner city, I would get killed, he said that he's drinking soda. So five years later, Kelly, we're at a tennis club, and this renowned tennis coach comes, and he's looking for a guy named Mark, right? So he looks at me, and he immediately says to me, here's Mark right here, right? And my immediate response is I put my hand on him and say, hi, I'm Mark, it's great meeting you. Now, I walk on the tennis court with him as Mark, like instantly. I'm Mark.
Okay.
Immediately. And I look behind me, Kelly, and like his son and him, they're just crying, laughing behind me. And I, of course, I got to be Mark. I'm not willing not get in the way of the improv. I'm Mark.
Yeah.
So, by the way, you said something so brilliant. Listen, you said something that I meet this almost very affluent man, and we become business partners, Michael J. Russ. Michael J. Russ. I help him write a book called Zero Adversity. And Michael says to me this one thing, and you hit on it so well. He says this one thing to me. He says, never, ever ask why. Like, one of his big things. So every time we do a piece of work together, there's a third person involved. She's a clairvoyant woman. And he says, "Girl, I'm gonna run this by my clairvoyant girl." And she always says yes. Anytime I give him a business idea, like we're talking tens and thousands of dollars. And I'm thinking, I've never met this woman, but she always says yes to the next thing we're about. And so Michael was telling me when he had no money, he said he always felt the feeling of having money and having a yes in his life. And so, but it's so funny that you should say, I couldn't answer why, but right. So the why is not relevant. The why is kind of like just a stuck in the no. So you, in a way, it was like so beautiful that you said that. It's funny because I don't ever usually ask people why. So your response was, in some ways, there's no why, which I love. So I love it. You know, I met this woman for the first time. Janet, what's her name? It's going to come to me. Janet's a world-class mime. And she comes. And the first time I saw her, we did an improv together on the stage together. And the whole improv exercise, she told me I spoke in a language of improv and mime are married to me. So she told me I spoke the hidden language of mime. So the first thing we did together was we were doing this dance or this movement where there was a hidden wall, and she needs to convey to me how to get beyond the wall. And so it was so powerful to be on stage with her, you know, having like 100 people watch us, and then just totally trust that she's sending me something nonverbal to go beyond the wall. And it was so. And she had just gotten paid like some, I want to say like a lot of money to do this with some executives at the Wall Street, some big hotel, I forgot what it is, big hotel in New York. And so mime and improv take us beyond our locked brain. It takes us beyond the linear. Like when you said the universe likes us when we say yes, I just thought, wow, that was so, it just brought me back to those many moments. I'm going to give you one moment. There's a guy who wrote a book called How to Solve Your Money Problems Once and For All, Victor Bach. Right? I had one conversation with him, Kelly, and he says, "Glenn, before you get up, give me your address." And I did. 2 weeks later, I got a check for $300. And he says, "Glenn, I'm sending you this check because I love your way of being." And he goes, "There's nothing else. Just enjoy it." So I started to realize, like, nice. So money, right? So money is the thing that we give to forward something. And what we do is we attach all these reasons and whys and conditions. We attach reasons, whys, and conditions rather than, I'd like to see this unfold, and I want to invite a cast of people. Like, I love playing with a cast. I love having a team. It's much more fun with you.
You're right.
You know?
You get to feed off of everybody's energy, and you get to, you know.
How many people are we going to have come to our seminar? Calls the universe likes it when you say yes.
You like that. I love it. That's great.
I like it. I dig it.
I love it. One statement. You've got a seminar. We're gonna brand it. We're gonna get T-shirts. I like
it. Yeah. Well, no. Yesterday, I helped someone. I have. She's 21 years old. She's one of my vibrant writers, and she says, "Glenn, I need $2,000 a month." And I said, "You know what? Call me in the afternoon. We're going to take care of this. We're going to have a burial service for your job, and you're going to make $2,000 a month easily." And I gave her the name, and she just loved. I want to share the name, but I told her I just the choir call. So I told her this name that was all about blossoming people's health. Her name is Miranda Green. Miranda, and it's like I said, "Man, what's happening is you're going to notice a little turbulence just because this is going to be a whole other shift for you." Because you were conditioned your whole life to have a job-holding mentality. Now you have a free agent mentality. Like the first time I ever got paid, I want to ask you what your experience was. The first time I ever got paid where I felt it was connected, I call this now in my work being paid for who you are. The first time I worked at a health resort upstate New York, and I thought all my colleagues going to be, you know, drug-free, alcohol-free. Well, the first night, they were all gone out to bars, and they weren't drug-free and alcohol-free. But the next day I gave a talk to the, it wasn't anything like that. The next day I gave a talk to the, the guests. And they were, I would say the lowest age was like 80. And there were some people in their high 90s. And I'm giving them a talk about the lessons I learned from Dr. Norman Walker. Dr. Norman Walker wrote a book called Become Younger in his 50s about turning vegetables into vegetables. He was the first person to really take compost, basically, or grated vegetables and squeeze it into juice. You develop a juice called the NOLA.
Yeah.
So I shared it with them, And I'm leaving because it's not going to work out. I'm not going to be able to hang out with people drinking and partying all night. So I know that I'm leaving. As I'm walking away, before I really came up with the awareness, being paid for who you are, as Mark Twain says, that real success is turning your vocation into your vacation. That's what I coach people on. I help people fill their practices based on what really deeply has meaning for them. And then I put formats together where they could experience the energy of collaboration and the creative collaboration and then have a path of action. So anyway, I'm walking away. I gave the talk. I'm coming to Long Island to do this with you. I gave the talk. And this guy put $10 in my pocket. He said, keep speaking. And I realized it hit me on an emotional level, a level of my soul. I kind of felt like no one had ever see, I had a paper route when I was 17, and my parents just said to me, get more jobs. But I was learning stuff from the paper route clients because I could see when their eyes got brighter and they breathed differently, some of them would talk to me in a way like our conversation meant everything. And Dr. Bernie Siegel said once to me, that if you could really breathe and let someone breathe around you, that's worth like $100 an hour. No one said that to me before. I thought I was doomed and temporary jobdom.
Temporary jobdom.
Yeah, the prison of jobs. I mean, I had a woman who would call me up in the morning and tell me my jobs, and she was doing transformational work. And she'd call me up and say, Glenn, just teach seminars. Like, and I realized, wow, I just realized it's kind of worth doing something you're terrified of to live a certain lifestyle. And I realized the terror was kind of the conditioning, right? And how did you deal with terror, or how did you move from one thing to another? Like, what was that process for you, like, from moving to something that you didn't do or you were scared of to where you are now?
So I don't think I've moved from terror. I just worked through it.
Okay.
So I still have the whole, you know, I definitely don't think I'm that evolved just yet. But
yes, yes.
I just, you know, I just ignore my, what, you know, I don't know who coined the term monkey brain, but you know when your brain is like, you shouldn't do this, that's dumb, nobody's going to like your book, blah, blah, blah. So it's not that I don't hear it or have that, but I, you know, like I said before, I have champions in my life, like my husband, my kids, who are, you know, tell my monkey brain to shut up. But the fear is still there, and I just think I maybe ignore it or fight through it, I would say. The fear, the terror, that's all still there. What will people think? She's on a radio show.
Yes.
Who does she think she is? She's writing a book.
Yeah.
You know, that exists for me every second. I just want to push through it because I feel like the book I'm writing is going to help people. It's going to help more people than it is going to, you know, anger people that I've written one, you know. And but the real truth is how I did it the most is, you know, Eleanor Roosevelt said, you wouldn't care what people think about you if you realized how infrequently they're thinking about you. And that's a real eye-opener for me, and it keeps me so, like, nobody's thinking of you, Kelly. You're great, terrific, but nobody's thinking about you, you know? So that's helpful, and I have that in my book, too, because I think we all probably need to be reminded of that. We're always so worried what people are thinking, and maybe they're not thinking about us at all, you know?
So I love how you responded that you have the terror, but you don't let it tie you down.
I try not to, you know.
Yeah.
Every day, right? Every day you try. You try to be the best version of you, I guess, you know.
Yeah.
Now, you mentioned your workshops. Where are you doing those? Mostly New York City?
I do. You know, it's so funny. I'm actually on Monday, we're doing a cast call for people who want to be part of the Vibrant Living Network, which you can find on Facebook, on Vibrant Living Network on Facebook. And these cast calls I do in person as well. And the idea is I don't just help people become radio hosts. I help them become speakers, and we have a speakers bureau. And I also help them travel. I want people to travel and become vibrant writers. So I'll do that. I'll do that on Zoom on Monday. I think we got 4:30 to 6:30. And then I'll be putting a bigger event together on vibrant living, vibrant medicine, vibrant relationships, vibrant happiness, and having people come from probably around the country to give different perspectives on vibrant medicine. And I'll be giving a talk. I mentioned Harvard. I'm putting my talk together for Harvard. We're starting a new show on the body of movement. So people come here, too. You know what I love, Kelly? People come here sometimes. I had a woman come to see me, and I just took her every day. We went out and we hiked the mountain. And so when someone really goes into their breath and in their body, I have them write and have them talk to me about, you know, because I kind of see at any moment people can live in the counterfeit selves or their authentic selves. So I did a whole relational. When I coach people, I give them energetic visualizations, and they're often relational. So I'm going to give you this month as an example. There's a quote that I like, that holy ground occurs when a previous grievance becomes like a blessing. So this last month, and this is what I call relational alchemy. So people come here, and I work with them, and I'm also certifying people and helping them. Well, I'm going to probably do the vibrant matchmaking because I feel like that really is singing in my soul, and also vibrant speaking. So they come, and I'm going to be teaching stuff in the city and now New York. New York's going to be like the end of September. But when people come, it's so beautiful because they're receptive to something that they've never been. They come with this openness. And I realize it's kind of like with the whole thing about yes in the universe. It's like I say yes to them. Like I put a seminar together, and I gave 6 people scholarships. And I said, you know what? You could just come no matter what. And if you want to pay for it some other date, you can. But it's totally, you know, I just welcome everybody. We sold out. And those 6 people, they paid for the seminar because they were so moved. So I'm always studying. I'm always, you know, and the thing in New York, many years ago, I had a place offer a whole star retreat. It's called the Emerson Place. It's near Woodstock. But I feel today, funny enough, Kelly, that I'm supposed to do something in Long Island because of you. I kind of feel you're a divine distributor. And I spoke to you. And you also live in a place that I admire and feel like I could breathe in and have fun in, like the area you live in. So I kind of, in some ways, like you said, the monkey brain, yeah, I kind of feel like if I could help people fill their practices, it gives them great meaning. Have them have a different conversation together. That's what I love. You stay with us. Your life precious. Yeah. Enjoy it. We're talking to Kelly. And Kelly's new book is we're going to talk about when we come back. Martin's Son. That Martin Sand. Powerful name.
Martin Sand.
Stay with us. Your life precious. Martin.
Feed your soul with waves of consciousness on Om Times Radio.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
Hey, Dr. Phil here. You know, I help people solve difficult problems every day, but one problem has me stumped: childhood hunger. Nearly 16 million children in America struggle with it. Luckily, the Feeding America network of local food banks collects surplus food, giving hope to hungry children and their families. But they need your help. Join me in supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Listening to the Vibrant Living Radio Network, the Vibrant Living Network. We cast, we're making a film right now. We assist people in becoming speakers. So we're having a cast call on Monday. You can find that on Facebook at Vibrant Living Network, Vibrant Living Network. My wonderful, extraordinary co-host and executive producer, Kai Cole, is at the UN today, doing her wonderful work at the UN. She'll be with us next week, and she'll be with us at our event. My now co-seminar leader and teaching our seminar together. The universe loves it when we say yes. How to embody deep abundance in your body, your soul, and your breath. Kelly, I'll tell you something about this thing about last name. The Martin Sun. Is it San or Sun?
It's Martinson.
Martinson. Okay, Martinson.
Mm-hmm.
And say your book title, and I wanna ask you something. What should you tell you people your book title again?
Sure. The book's called A Year of Inspired Living.
I feel this in my soul. You're going to be a contributor to our vision. We have this vision couples book coming out that's coming out. And people ask me, how do I get a sense? I got a sense that you would be the perfect person to be an advisor and contributor. So I want to royally welcome you to be part of this book project. And I want you to be around during the filming of the movie as well.
Cool. Yeah. Sounds like fun. Where are you filming?
Yeah, no. I'm going to tell you something pretty wild. So, all right, I'm going to give you an insight. So give us your website. People could track you down and buy 100,000 copies of your book. How do people be in touch?
That sounds good. So it's ayearofinspiredliving.com, or they can always go to naturalawakeningslongisland.com. So either one they can find me at.
Beautiful. And you're going to be a regular here, Kelly. We're going to do all kinds of
cool.
We're going to model for this, not just talk about it. Or as my teacher says, there's teachers, way too many teachers. We need to have more demonstrators. And me and you are going to demonstrate this together.
I like it.
All right.
Let's demonstrate.
So that was a great question. So I'm going to tell you about this. So this film, it's called The Announcement. And it's just fascinating. So I've been doing this series with Dr. Jerry Leedsman. He's putting this conference together. He's the academic advisor for the conference at Harvard while I'll be speaking. And we're starting a new show called The Body of Movement. So the film is a story. The film is based on a principle of revisioning our lives. How do we revision something that's hurt us, that's really gotten in the way of us living fully? And heartbreak is the number one thing in the universe, really. It really holds people aback, and it really – it's painful. And, there was an Olympic athlete on a swimmer. And she was just talking about that when she had heartbreak, it was very physical. She didn't know what it was. She thought she was dying. So I went through that.
Ooh.
And there was a certain place in my life, Kelly, where I started to have what I call these soul seeings. And I could see the imagery of the movie come through. Now, my beloved teacher in acting is Eric Morris. Eric wrote many, many books. One of his books is called No More Acting, Please. So when I started on Secret Power, I had to say
title.
That Eric really, no more acting. Yeah, so he's a great human being. What a strong human being. He's in his near 90 and he's out. He's still like he's like General Eric in a good way. He's powerful and clear. So I started to get an imagery of the opening scene. It kept coming to me. And when I saw the scene, it opened my body up. It changed the depth of my breath. And I realized it was profound healing imagery. And it was allowing me to revision this, what I call, the first chapter of my book is on, it's called relational tsunamis. Relational tsunamis, how to dissolve them, stop them, and go into deep love. And one of the chapters is from betrayed to be loved together, from betrayed to be loved together. As a couple thinketh in their heart together, so they are. And vibrant movement. So we get together, we're really creating this tree of life union. Will we see beyond the death and the habits before us and to develop a love that no one's ever had? So this inspired me to become a matchmaker because I felt like so many of the ideas around dating were terrible. So one of my things is beyond dating to relating. So the first scene of the movie, I'll share it with you. I'll give you a preview. A trailer.
Let's hear it.
A trailer with you, Kelly. All right. Okay. The first scene of the movie, and it's so funny. I'm thinking about shooting this scene in three different marketplaces. So the first scene of the movie, my character is named Gordon Banks, and Diana Banks, we were married about 27 years together, and my character, Gordon, just thought there was nothing ever that would get in the way of our relationship. It always would work out. And there was a while where Diana was really ill, to the point I thought I would lose her. Gordon thought he would lose her. And what happens is that Diana just pulls away that the character doesn't understand. It's sort of devastating for Gordon. So the opening of the movie, the opening of the announcement is I'm walking on a city block and it's very dreary outside. It's very overcast and people are very distracted. You ever walk down a city block and no one, it doesn't feel like there's any connection. People are just in their phones. Their postures sort of collapse and it's dreary and it's like, and that's the way I'm walking in the book. I'm kind of heavy, and I don't really experience the color. I feel really I feel just really sad. I feel underneath it. I just miss Diana so much. I just want to connect with her. I don't know how. I've reached out to so many people, healers around the planet, people that do this work. And so many of them said to me, by the way, Kelly, that said to Gordon, they would assist. But still, Diana's in another universe. So I'm walking. You know, we have a set designer. We're working with all these cool people on this. But the whole vibe is it's really a low vibe. And Gordon's devastated. Now, as I go to the, as I move, as the character goes to the second block, or the, I'm sorry, mid block, everything begins to change. More lightness comes in the air. People, I see Gordon starts to make contact with people. And as this scene evolves, the color of the scene changes. And Gordon starts to, he starts to move and dance. And as he's dancing, everybody on the street kind of connects with him. And the opening scene, he sees Diana at the end of the block, and they reconnect. And it's a very, it's a scene about revisioning. And I work with people on these energetic visualizations. That's the opening of the movie. And you asked me where I was going to film it. Well, as of my last visioning of this, Burlington, Vermont, potentially.
Oh, nice.
Tarrytown, New York. Tarrytown, New York.
Beautiful.
And I'm just open for the next place. So I thought about filming at three different places, the same scene. And I want cast members that when they read about this, they want to experience the energy of revisioning, and they want to hear the hush. And the Diana character, of course, I'm so psyched to meet her. We're writing with the character. We're going to release. We're going to do a cast call for her, and she's someone that's willing to go beyond public opinion. You know, when people said I made up my mind, that's never true. What's true is you could turn your relationship and love around at any moment, right? What do you think about that? What's your experience as I say that? What's your take on relationship and what I'm saying, like about heartbreak and people say, I've made up my mind. What's your take?
Well, I think exactly what you said. People don't, you know, make up their mind or maybe they do in some way, but they don't. It's for the moment. I made up my mind for now, you know. But they think it's forever. I think that's what you're missing on that. Like, I think that's what they're missing.
Yes.
Like, if they say it,
yes.
They've made up their
mind
for this time frame, you know?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I think.
no, that's,
not,
that's
not forever. Because
you know, it's really, I want to say it's so beautiful hearing you say that.
Yeah, thank you.
It's beautiful hearing you say that, Kelly. Have you seen in your life people change their minds about something? They said, I'm never going to change my mind on this. Have you seen people change their mind?
Oh, gosh, every day. Yeah, every day. You know, I've encountered even in relationships. I have a couple that I'm friends with, you know, who, you know, a few years ago were getting divorced. They were buying different houses. They were, and then somehow they found their way back to each other. You know, so they never really did. Well, they might have made up their mind for that moment, but it wasn't forever. You know, they're right now.
Would they be interested? I got inspired. I got inspired. I want to ask you if I could speak to them and see if they want to be part of the film in some way.
Oh, I can certainly ask them.
All right.
I will definitely.
What's something that you want to leave with? What's something you want to leave with the audience based on your book? And you're going to be on. You're considering yourself a Vibrant Living family member, Kelly, from now on.
Oh, thank you. Thanks. I like being
you're
part
welcome.
Of family.
I'm only eager to. Demonstrating this with you, and our seminar is already moving my heart. The universe loves it when we say yes. What do you want to share today? Oh, good. Well, you know, it was in our mutual field that it came up.
Yeah, absolutely. It's cool. What would I like to say? Well, I hope for anybody who's reading the book now that they're enjoying it, and for those of you who haven't gotten it, I really, you know, I'm getting amazing feedback. I think it's a book that everybody will enjoy. I think if you liked listening to me for the past 40 minutes, you'd enjoy the book. I don't know. I think it's a great book. You know, I'm giving most of the proceeds to when you go with a big publishing house, it's not like there are a lot of proceeds. I think if the book costs $12, I make $1.20, but that $1.20 is going to a couple of charities. Make-A-Wish is one of them. So it's not, this isn't really a shameless plug in terms of monetary. I just think it's, the feedback I'm getting is great. People love the book. I loved writing it, and I would love for more people to experience it.
Is there a website for the book that people could look at?
Yep, the book has a year of it. The book is A Year of Inspired Living, and the website is ayearofinspiredliving.com. Mm-hmm.
So you're saying to me that your money from the book is not going to Mr. Softy during the summer. It's going to things like the Make-A-Wish Foundation.
Oh, boy, did I love Mr. Softy.
I did too,
no,
Kelly.
You got it. You got it. Yes, Mr. Softy was
the
best,
my
but
gosh.
I did not get my $1.20 for my book.
All right. I was wondering because I went
although,
to my first
if he
nutrition.
Came around, I might have to buy one.
Yes. All right, but that's legitimate. So you'll give a $1.20 to Mr. Softy or $2.20, but most of it's going to, and I support you. I went to when I was a teenager, I went to this dermatologist, and this is my first experience of nutritional therapy ever. I had a terrible plantar wart. It was so painful to walk. So I go to the dermatologist, and he says, well, we'll take care of your plantar wart. This has to do with Mr. Softy, of course. We'll take care of your plantar wart. is desiccated liver. So I went to the health food store and I got these huge horse tablets of desiccated liver. How do you think I swallowed those desiccated liver tablets?
Mr. Softy.
Mr. Softy. I would get an orange soda and a chocolate Mr. Softy, and that's how I would take my desiccated liver. And my plantar wart did go away. I was about 17.
I was going to say, did it work?
It did work. And that was, I changed my diet when I was like, going back to Center Reach High School, the source of all the challenges of my life, you know what Center Reach is. I realized one day when I was reading Beecher's Tom Hunter, Consumer Beware, they weren't serving any food in the cafeteria. So I started to bike on my lunch breaks to the vegetable stand. But that desiccated liver in Mr. Softy, it was something about chocolate Mr. Softy that it was like an antidepressant or something. I'd run that truck down.
For sure.
That was my medication. What was your experience like, Mr. Softy? Did you do that?
It was just, just hearing that bell come down the block, you know, when you'd hear
it.
That was, it would bring out the kids in droves. And it was that good humor. We had a good humor truck, too.
Oh, yeah.
The two trucks we had in our neighborhood. But
we had a third truck.
We didn't have ice cream trucks.
You don't know trucks anymore?
No.
What's the point of summer then?
Exactly. Well, we have parked trucks at the place called the Smorgasbord in Long Beach, and they're all parked food trucks, but none are allowed to drive around. I don't really know why.
Oh, that's sad. I think I have such an emotional connection with Mr. Softy.
Yeah, it brings me back to, you know, the 70s and, you know, good and no cell phones and
retro.
You know, hide and seek.
Retro.
Yeah, of course. For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. Well,
retro brain. They did
us.
Oh, thank you. What time? You know, I got to tell you, my studio clock is stuck here. It looks like it got stuck at 1:30. What time is it right now, Kelly?
It's 1:56, and unfortunately, I didn't plan for the 2 hours, so I've got to run.
We're gonna catch up. I deeply appreciate it. We've only just begun. Appreciate you. Welcome to the family. I'll talk to you soon. And it's been a wonderful hour.
Some kimchi too. Yeah, it's been great. When, you know,
kimchi Moya, I'm gonna you're gonna come back on. Kimchi's gonna be on next week. I want to get you on next week. We're right here. We'll talk about what it's like to travel the world as a vibrant travel and experiential journalist. We'll talk about being a resipath. I'll introduce you to Kai Cole. And share with people about our cast call on Monday on Facebook, Vibrant Living Network. I appreciate the universe for connecting us, Kelly. Thank you.
Thank you. Talk to you soon. Have a good rest of your day.
Talk to you soon. Appreciate you. And I want to thank you guys. I want to thank Regulat. It's made in Germany. It's liquid. It's beyond a probiotic. It feeds and regenerates your body. I highly recommend it. It's one of the Vibrant, it's on the Real Food Supplement Award, the Real Food Supplement Award. Regulat. I'm going to talk about Regulat next week. We'll have back on Kimchi Moya. We're going to talk about how to fill your practice as a practitioner anywhere. Because the more you prosper living your vision and the more you could live from this place where you become paid for who you are, it changes everything. So I invite you to join us next week. I invite you to go to Facebook and check out Vibrant Living Network. Join us for the open cast call. We can learn not just to be a radio host, but a vibrant host and a public speaker. And a traveler and be right. If you're interested in vibrant writing, If you really want to have a different quality of life, you got to just more than read a book. It needs to be an experience where you get ongoing wisdom from, as I like to say, the dojo, where we treat each other with reverence and respect. My number to be in touch with any of the topics discussed today, or you're interested in any of my work, including my vibrant matchmaking, beyond dating to relating, 413-345-3747, 413-345-3747. You're interested in the movie, you want to be part of the announcement. Anything that kind of tweaks you. You know, in this show, a lot of times it's something that's not said or it's in between the words. I tend to speak to people like a song. It's sometimes it's a feeling or a sense. And if you really want to be expressed at a new level, be in touch and know that we're supposed to meet. And I want to thank all the people who are behind the Vibrant Living Network, just all the people who have come and written to me, hired me, I've learned lessons from, just all those people have been with me for like 30 years now. And I want to send my love and my deepest appreciation for Donna Brooks and the wonderful work she does and just how much she's immensely contributed to my life. There's an audio file I think you will enjoy called Her Beautiful Face. Her Beautiful Face, How to Help Someone Going Through Chronic Disease or Illness. Her Beautiful Face. I'm Glenn Brooks. Your life's precious. Enjoy it. I want to thank Chris and all the wonderful people at Ohm Times Radio. I'm Glenn Brooks with the Vibrant Living Network. Thank you.